I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to Tattooed Fantasy Podcast, episode 31. I'm your host Peter, joined this week by Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Gunnar, how's yourself?
Yep, doing very well, thank you.
Good, we're all back after Tom's hiatus last week, but we're back with a bang. So, we'll go to the league first. Number one is Wolf Tone, Tony McClenny, 7 points. Second is Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey, 76 points. Third is Gunnar yourself, Los Pimentores, 76 points. If you go down to, where is it? No, I've lost it. 13 for the league, Horizon, Saad, Arsait, A. Hassan, 102 points. And that was him using two chips this week as well. He used the bench boost and the wild card. And he captained Devlin for minus four. So let's go through his team. Three checking goals, 5 points. Tavernier, 2. Taylor, 11. Devlin, like mentioned, minus 4. Tate, 7. Dermot, 7. McGrath, 4. Turnbull, 13. Campbell, 14. Pittman, 5. Edouard Weiss, 20 points. Kelly in goals, 7. Cole, 3. Barisic, 2. And Callan, 6. An eclectic mix there, you can see from his team. So the average this week was 35 points. The highest was 113. We got between us, Peter got 55. Tom got 36. You're on 76, so you want to talk through your team and your points. You go first, Tom.
So I had Lewis in goals for 0, a triple captain Tav for 6, vice-captain Devlin for minus 2, Ayer got me 9, Goldson 2, in midfield I had Turnbull with 13, Robinson 1, Kilty 3, McGrath 4, and up front I had Cole for 3 and Roof for 1. Not really too much missed out on the bench apart from Sigrist, who got 7, so I was better off starting him in goal.
Bit of disaster this week for you, Tom, but nothing you can do about it. Gunnar, you want to talk through your 76 points?
Yeah, 5 points, Strijic with a safe penalty in goals, 2 points from Barisic, 4 points, captain Tavernier. Goldson got me 2 points, Ayer 9 points, then I got 4 points from McGrath, Turnbull and Boyle got me 13 points each, a point of Nisbet, Cole for 3 points, and vice-captain Edward.
Okay. I had Marciano on goals for 7, sorry. Sound my throat there. 7. Vice captain Kenny for 17 points. Chuff for that one. Barisic, Goldson, 2 points each. Tavernier, captain, 4. McGregor, 8. Turnbull, 13. Robinson, 1. Ferguson, minus 1. Oakley up front with Nisbet, 1 each. And the bench, Anik was suspended for the first game, so he wasn't in it. Guffrey's injured. Brophy, I don't know what's happened with him. And Mullen missed out because of a COVID scare, I believe. So above average, but still could have done better. So, there is no topic this week. Just quickly cover the cup again. All the graphics are out of the bracket, thanks to Gunnar, sorted it all out. So, you can see who you've got, your route to the final. Use the hashtag HHFPCup and talk with your partners, who you're playing. Not your partners, what's the point? Talk to your partners. Talk to your opponents. I suppose we're close to the game week. We'll push us more. We get to game week 32. We can start getting the debate up. With a great upturn to the community, people talking about it, looking forward to it. So, I'm quite looking forward to it myself. The hard work's done for now, so just when game week 32 comes around, we'll be up to neck it again for a week, but we'll be fine. So, stat. Gunnar hasn't got one this week. Good, because normally it's an anti-Celtic stat that he comes out with, which is... That's why he's not got one. We've won 3 games of trot.
You know, actually, I have some positive here stat-wise then. Highest score in this game week was Stephen Welsh with 15 points overall in the game. He was the highest scoring.
Good,
well done him.
Good Coat Bridge lad as well, eh, Tom?
That's right.
Our home, well, my hometown, your new hometown. So what's your stat then, Tom?
So my stat is Martin Boyle at Hibs. In the last three games, he's had 4 goals and 1 assist. So that's pretty good going, I think.
Excellent. You know, I did, when I was writing this up, the Hibs game, I was like, Boyle, I feel I'm writing Boyle constantly. Now, you say the last few game weeks, he's either in the goals or the assists. So, go to the results then. First up, Celtic 2, Motherwell 1. Guru, you mentioned earlier on. Welsh got his first goal for Celtic. Edouard goal. Turnbull assist. McGregor assist. And for Motherwell, Campbell goal through the hologram that is Scott Bain and O'Donnell assist. So, thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yep, so as you said, Turnbull got the assist for the first goal. He was also top for shots on target in this game with 3. No other Celts got more than 1. Edouard had 1 as well. He had... Hold on. Oh, he had 1 shot on target and he scored with it. His other 2 shots were off target, 1 was blocked. He also missed a big chance as well. The second game in a row that Greg Taylor was the highest for key passes. He created Edouard's big chance. I think there's good assist potential there. He's actually top for assists among Celtic defenders. And there's a bit of clean sheet ability there as well. The next double's St Johnston away and Aberdeen at home. We know Aberdeen are lacking a bit up front and St Johnston have been a bit hit or miss recently as well. So, good clean sheet potential there. Motherwell had some good spells of attack and play as well. I really like Devante Cole as an option. I think we'll talk about him on the more on the next Motherwell game. They've got Hamilton next, and then they've got another double after that, which is St Johnston and St Mirren. So I think Devante Cole, if you've not already got him, he's won the target there.
Your thoughts on the game?
I don't know how harsh you can be on Bain and goals there. The shot was deflected, wasn't it? Or did it just look like that?
Reject. Was it deflection?
I thought it was deflected a little bit, but from like Ayer's eye, and just that's what it like lifted over him.
It's that
far. I thought it was more of an arching shot, just over the top.
Yeah, I didn't see
it. Fair play.
I've got these obviously programmed in my head about Scott Bain. It just looked like the ball came to him and it went through him because he's not really there. Back to your thoughts,
Gunnar. And the other thing I noticed, we spoke about Jonjo Kenny signing for Celtic and that he wasn't supposed to be this like attacking wing back. And so, some of the highlights that I seen was of him actually being quite forward. I think even got a shot off at the one time. That's just something that, well, it's probably coming through the system that Celtic are trying to play. But when we had spoken about him, I wasn't expecting him to actually like play this role, and I think he did well in this game.
Yep. I had the one vice, so I was happy with the points. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I will say I'm not going to get carried away. I just think he's a right-footed Greg Taylor. That's just been watching. I don't think he's much of an upgrade. Really, maybe he's more positionally solid. Again, the Celtic seem to be cruising, and then until a lot of crazy substitutions by Neil Lennon, and then the game could have fell apart, and it wasn't for Diego Laxell at the end, clean the ball off the line. It could be talking about 2 weeks strong. Right, next up, Hibs 2, Aberdeen 0. Boyle, 2 goals, Stevenson assist, and a clean sheet for Hibs, and a beleaguered Aberdeen look right off the pace. So Gunnar, I'll go you first.
I thought that was overall just a really good Hibs performance. Just by watching the highlights, I couldn't really tell you what Aberdeen was trying to do, what the gameplay one was that they had. Definitely missing Ryan Hedges and his creativity. I looked that up earlier. Martin Boyle, he's only 20% owned. In comparison, Greg Kilty, for example, he's 23.4% owned. So I brought him in this week. He was a nice differential. I got lucky. I got him off the bench because I had 2 players not playing from Libby. And I think on Aberdeen, I seen the vote of confidence there for McInnes, but like if it wasn't for Joe Lewis, Hibs could have probably won by more goals. You know, he picked up from his mistakes that he made in the last couple of games. But this game, he really kept him in the game for a while there. But it should have probably been 3 or 4 for Hibs.
Yep, I agree with that. Tom, thoughts on the game?
Yep, so it was Boyle and Doidge up front. Nisbet was benched again. Boyle was really attacking in this game. He had four shots on target. He was the only player on the pitch to exceed one. He did miss two big chances. There was the Murphy through ball and then Jackson Irvin, the ball. He played into the box. So it could have been more for Boyle. We've already talked about how well he's done in the last three games. I don't know how long that'll last, given obviously Nisbet's the top scorer this season. How long is he going to stay on the bench? I suppose it depends on how long he spits the dummy for. Aberdeen only had a single shot on target in this game, and it came from Ross McCrory. It was Fraser Hornby that started up front for them, and he did hit the woodwork. He's on loan from Reims. He plays for the under-21 Scottish national team, so he'll be familiar with some of the players at Aberdeen already. In terms of going forward, I really like Hibs for their clean sheet potential. They've obviously got a clean sheet in this game. They've got Ross County, Hamilton, Motherwell, St Johnstone and Livingston. That's the run-up to the split, so I think that's probably one of the better run-ups, considering they don't compete against Celtic or Rangers in that time. Paul McGinn's top for shot amongst Hibs defenders with 7 for this season, and also big chances as well. One thing we need to look out for is Jackson Irvin. I think he came off injured, so we need to kind of look at the press and see what his status is for the weekend.
Okay, wee question for both of you here then. Derek McInnes is under a lot of pressure after this game. A lot of fans online aren't happy either. So, if it was you, would you stick or twist? I mean, we've seen already this season a lot of good decisions made to replace the manager that actually worked out for the club, has replaced them. Like Livingston's the prime example. Now, obviously, McInnes will have his defenders who say he's done well for Aberdeen. Can you remember what they were like before? Blah, 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 blah. But he's probably stayed there longer than a manager should. So what's your thoughts on McInnes? Do you think, about at the end of the season, you can replace him? We'll start with you, Gunnar, because you can annuate this Scottish game.
See, that's probably better for you guys to answer. But like you say, he's been there for a while. And like, from my personal opinion, I don't know who you bring in now. Transfer window's closed and stuck with him now. And he's been there so long. It could go either way. He's probably made, like, all the structure is in place for him being the manager there because he's been there for so many years. And, yeah, like I say, it could go either way. And just me personally, I don't know what caliber of manager they could bring in to turn it around, or if their best bet is just sticking with him and then maybe see again in the summer.
Give yourself, Tom's thoughts on this.
I'd stick for now. I thought he had Aberdeen playing well at the start of the season. They've had a bit of bad luck with COVID and stuff like that. He's also replaced the entire sort of strikers. Obviously, Cosgrove's out, Curtis Main's away, and Brian Anderson, he's away on loan to Hamilton as well. So he's brought in complete new strike force, so they need time to bed in. He's time to develop with those as well. So, as you said, there's not much you can do till the end of the season though. Why not just stick with him till the summer and see how things develop?
Okay, caveat as well. I know he's on a hell of a lot of money because I believe when he knocked back one of the championships, League One jobs, Sunderland, I think, come out of my head, that the part of the deal was he knocked it back, but Aberdeen matched the wage he was going to get. So he's pretty much paid not far off Neil Lennon type wages for an Aberdeen job. So right. that would be a big comp package. Right. Next up, Livingston 1, St Johnstone 2. Winning streak's over. Or winning streak, unbeaten streak even. Pittman goal, Holt assist, and for St Johnstone, Tanzer goal, Rooney goal, and a Craig assist. So thoughts on this one, Tom?
So this was Livingston's first loss after 14 games unbeaten. Guthrie was out injured for this game. I thought it was quite telling. I thought the back line didn't seem as organised and as solid as they have been in the past. So he's perhaps the missing link there. I thought it was a really good free kick from Tanzer. He's had 2 goals this season, 0 assists. So he's probably not the best defender to invest in. But it was a nice goal nonetheless. Another set piece they conceded from for the second as well. Livingston are really good defensively, apart from the recent 2-2 Celtic game. That's the first time they've conceded 2 or more goals in a game since October. So they're pretty solid. And also the boy in goals there, Strijic, he saved Stevie May's penalty as well. So he's a decent option in goal. So I quite like the Livingston defence going forward. They've had a few key players missing recently, whether it be injury or COVID. So my advice would probably be stick with for now. I don't think anyone specifically stood out amongst the St Johnstone side. kind of, you said I banged the drum for Guy Mohammed last pod, but he's been a bit absent recently, so maybe it's just a bit of a flash in the pan, so keep an eye out for that one.
Are you good on yourself?
I agree with what Tom said there. They definitely missed a couple of key players, definitely Guthrie there. Strijic with a penalty save was good for my points total in the end. And overall, I had two players that didn't play, so I got Martin Boyle off the bench as well. But I think the players that I have is the Mullen and Guthrie as well. So I'll stick with them. Like we say, first defeat in 15 games now. And probably in a way, it's probably good for them as well. So people stop talking about the winning streak. A bit of pressure gone there as well. And they can just focus on the football now going forward.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of glad because I thought he was getting a bit blasé with the rotation, supposedly, because he felt it was on some run, but it's came to light. It was like a bit of a COVID outbreak, wasn't it, Tom? Something to do with the Tony Macaroni actual thing. It's not all out, the story's not completely out yet, but something's going to happen where it was maybe a wee breach of the rules, so players were missing or self-isolating as just a precaution. So maybe it isn't the fact he was rotating, maybe it's just the fact they had to do it because he was forced into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, that I would agree. I've got three Livingston players. I'm going to keep the freedom. I might change one to another. I like Pittman up front. I think he's quite regular for scores. And Robinson's not as nailed on as I thought he was. He was playing a position. So I just need to kind of keep an eye on that and watch him if they change that about. St. Johnson, again, they're hit and miss. Like you say, Tom, you bring players in and they could do well one week. I feel looking through this last couple of game weeks there, there's not a name that's repeating itself. It's always different goal scorers, always different assists. There's nobody kind of constantly returning, so you can rely on. It's always changing, so there's nobody to hang your hat on. Next up, Ross County 0, Dundee 2, Shankland goal, Edwards goal, Smith assist, and a Paul assist, and a clean sheet for Dundee United. So what's this one, Gunnar?
Yeah, that was United's first win in 8 games. Took until the second half for United to break the deadlock. Shankland, he had two almost identical chances in the first half where he overhit it slightly trying to go around the keeper. And then for the first goal, though, Shankland, I thought it was great centre-forward play. He's kind of started the move there on the counter-attack. And then he's made this run from the far post to the near post where he put the ball in the net. And for the second goal, it was Edwards, Paulette with the right-sided corner. And he's got like 3 or 4 defenders around him, but he still wins the header. And the thing is, in my opinion, you can't really make much of that. First win in 8 games, it needed a counter-attack and then a corner for them to even get into scoring chances. So Dundee United assets, I'm looking at the fixtures as well. There's Livy, there's Rangers in there, there's Celtic coming up, Aberdeen in Game Week 33 as well. So I'm staying away from Dundee United, even Shankland.
Tom?
Yeah, even Shankland. He did have a one-on-one with Laidlaw twice up until the point where he actually scored. He didn't manage to capitalise on the two one-on-ones up until that point, which wasn't great. For Ross County, it was Billy Mackay and Jordan White up front. We know Jordan White is on loan from Motherwell. He had a great debut with a goal and assist, but not a lot this week. Ollie Shaw was benched, so we don't know if Big Yogi's still trying to find his best 11 or what, or if he's a bit of rotation or just not up to it. But something to keep an eye on. Rotation might be a concern there. I agree with Gunnar in terms of Dundee United's fixtures. They've got Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen between now and the split. So there's a lot more teams with more attractive fixtures, potentially some doubles as well, which I don't think Dundee United have. So it's an avoid for me. I think Ross County, the only one I would consider is Ollie Shaw, but even he's a bit of a concern now considering he's not a consistent starter.
Yep, I agree with both of you. I wouldn't be looking to get any of these players into any of these teams. I would just keep an eye on form for maybe the split, because obviously Dundee United, I know they can be dragged into it, but if they keep on getting results here or there, they won't be anywhere near relegation, but Ross County are still there, very much in it. So it's just whether it's, you keep an eye to get players form, the form of both teams, and after the split, if you're going to have, obviously, if he's got a wild card, and what players are going to try to pick for the bottom six, hopefully they come back for you. Right, next up is St Mirren 2, Kilmarnock 0, McAllister goal, Obika goal, Dunnes assist, and a clean sheet for St Mirren. Gunnar?
That was the fifth consecutive loss for Killy. First goal was Dermish. He with the cross onto the head of McAllister, and then the second goal, Obika. That was some terrible defending, just proceeding that from Power, who just couldn't get the ball away. But good decisive pressure then from Obika. Have Killy's hired a new manager yet?
Yeah, yep. Tommy White. Tommy White.
That's the next one. We'll discuss that after the second game. But when you go.
Hi, sound. So, totally out of form, obviously, Killy. Kabamba, I don't know if it was this one or the second one where he just came off the bench, didn't start the game. I said it before, 23.4% still have Greg Kilty in their teams. He must have, like, I've not looked, but he must have not returned in weeks now, I would presume, as well. Yeah, that's another team I'm staying away, Killy.
Tom?
Kilty has been out with injury, and it was kind of surprised to see him in the starting 11 for this game, but he was there. In terms of St Mirren, they lined up in a 3-4-2-1 formation. It was Obika up front with McGrath and McAllister, the two behind. It was McGrath that was the only one that didn't come away with a goal, however. It wasn't for lack of trying. He had five shots, two of which were on target, and missed two big chances. I was going to say he's probably one to stick with for the upcoming doubles, but as we'll probably find out when we talk about the Celtic game, he came off injured with a shoulder issue. Kilty, as we said, is back for Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock only had a single shot on target in this game. It came from Danny Whitehall. They've only scored in one game from the last five, which was the 3-2 game against St Johnstone. It's been two goals and two for Obika. And it was a big blunder from Kelly's Power. I think he was mucking about with the ball in the box, and then Obika just nicked it off him and scored from that. So it was gifted to him a little bit, but he's not been looking too bad recently, Obika, and he obviously starts in the next game after that as well. So he's cementing a place there in the starting 11.
Right, just to kind of echo your thoughts, Kilmarnock on kind of free fall. Need to wait and see how the new manager does things. I wouldn't be taking any of the players on board. St Mirren's kind of a funny one because they've got these double fixtures, fair enough. It didn't really work out. Me, who I'd brought in, didn't work, so it's a failure that way. But if they do finish top six, they're going to be playing the best five teams in the league, and then I don't expect them to get much points from it. So one of the situations, again, like I mentioned last time, where teams 7th or 8th could be sitting with more points than Mirren. I think we'll be playing the bigger teams and probably not get much return. So something to keep an eye on in case they kind of keep this form up, but it's something to watch going forward. Right, the last game of the first round of fixtures was Hamilton 1, Rangers 1. So Easton was an own goal for Rangers, and Callaghan scored at the death to make it one each. So obviously a lot of wipeouts, people with a different Rangers thought. So what's your thoughts on this game, Gunnar?
Yeah, it was really all Rangers for three quarters of the game. But then from like the 70th minute on, Hamilton, they really started to put the pressure on. McGregor, he kept Rangers, he kept the scores level, and he was probably Rangers' best player up till then. And you could probably say that Rangers' goal came against the run of play at the time when it was scored. And then with nothing to lose, Hamilton, they threw the kitchen sink at Rangers, and they got something. I mean, it was a cross from the left, first saved by McGregor, then put away by Callaghan. Barisic, he's so slow to react to the ball, and after the save from McGregor, and you can hear someone straight after, because there's no fans, obviously, you can hear someone say, I told you there was another one coming, that's why you stay ready. And, well, he wasn't ready, and 94th minute clean sheet wipeout.
Tom?
Aye, there was no Ryan Jack, no Stevie Davis, no Kamar Roof in the starting 11 either. Arfield's still out. I imagine Roof probably wasn't risked. He's still recovering from injury. He's obviously going to have plenty of time to recover now because he's out for two games. But I suppose it was probably just because the plastic pitch, they didn't want to risk him too much. Rangers weren't too hot in front of goal. They only had two shots on target, as opposed to Hamilton, who had seven. I agree with Gunnar. I did feel like McGregor kept them in the game for a few periods. Eventually, it was Callaghan. He was involved in the equalising. He always seems to be involved with Hamilton. I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have between now and the split, but it'll be interesting when, obviously, Hamilton are playing weaker opposition. He's probably one to focus in on post-split. For those post-split wildcards, I imagine he's probably going to be a popular player.
Right. Gerrard said after the game, it's the worst Rangers played this season, and I do agree with what I've seen. I mean, there's no way they should be going to Hamilton, a team they bet 8-0 last time.
Yeah.
And then struggling. It was a struggle because Hamilton did the most chances to get a one each draw. I think I mentioned this a week ago or 2 weeks ago. We're talking about how Rangers would maybe take their eye off the ball after at least pretty much done and dusted. So we'll see how the reaction. I mean, the league's over. It would take a miracle for somebody to catch them. But whether this is like a kick up the bum they needed for the next game, they're playing Kilmarnock home next. If they start returning to kind of form again, then it's maybe watch. Certainly watch for it if they're, well, most of them are triple up defence, I suppose. Tom, you're on two, I think. So if they go out and smash Kilmarnock and blow away, then it's not to worry about because if they've had it. I mean, they've got that worry about their system. But if it continues on going forward, it's worrying asset-wise about their mentality going to the end of this season. Right, that was the first round of fixtures finished. So next up with three last night. First up was Kilmarnock 0, Motherwell 1, so that would be the sixth defeat in the trot, Gunnar, am I right? Because you said five.
Right. Yep.
Campbell goal, so his second goal of the game week, and a Watt assist, clean sheet, and this was also Tommy Wright's first game in charge of Kilmarnock, so take it away, Tom.
We do Kilmarnock first?
Kilmarnock, Motherwell first, yep.
Yep, so Alan Campbell with the goal, Tony Watt assist, that's Campbell's second goal in second game, so 2-2. He scored with his only shot of the game. Devante Cole, again, we've talked about him. He was top for shots on target with three. He also missed a big chance. There was a diamond head in front of goal. You might have seen that. As I said, I'll just say again, he's the one to have out of Motherwell. And they've got a double coming up as well, so I'd probably be looking at him. It was the first game with Tommy Wright in charge and his input. It was Kilty and Kabamba back up front in a 4-4-2. This is something we've seen before. Kilty obviously playing out of position, but failed to get anything in this game. And this was Motherwell's first clean sheet since October.
Oof.
So maybe not investing them defensively right away, but if they can shore things up at the back, it might be a sign to invest in the future. But I wouldn't jump in that for now.
Big Gunnar, your thoughts?
Yeah, I have nothing more to add. They're 2-2 for Campbell. We said that before. 6 loss for Kilmarnock. We said that as well. So that's it.
I like the look of Campbell and Watt under Graeme Alexander. I think Tony Watt always seemed to think, I don't like using the word lazy, but it didn't seem as if he was always trying his hardest. And I think in the last couple of games, watching him just doing the eye test under this new manager, he's working his socks off, doing a lot of dirty work. He's got a nice partnership with Devante Cole, you said, Tom. Just something I'm going to watch going forward, I think, because I'd also like Campbell as well. But he seems to be stepped up to the plate, not like in a Turnbull role, but he seems to be the main man in midfield. Everyone's going through him because of Graeme Alexander. So interesting for the rest of the season how this team keeps playing, how they perform. They're going to be in the bottom six. They're going to be playing, as I've mentioned before, the weaker teams. If they've got the probably standout squad, I would think, the squad that probably should have made top six. So if they keep improving, then I wouldn't be against maybe bringing two or three more of assets in after this, but not all be the guaranteed starters. We'll just wait and see how it goes on. Tommy Wright, obviously first game in charge. I read today that he's actually only got 4 players who won't be out of contract at the end of the season, so he's got an absolutely massive building job on his hands. So again, you're not maybe you won't really know Tommy Wright. Was he gone for you? St. Johnson, that was the start of the season, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
He had St. Johnson really punched him on the rate for years and years and years. I think he finished third a couple of times, third and fourth. He was there for 7 years. And he also had him in Europe a couple of times. So, you just see the job he'd done. Obviously, he was obviously using a smaller budget and getting there. It's a totally different challenge for him. So, my thought is, do you think it's a good appointment? And do you think he will keep them steady the ship and keep them up? Tom, we'll start with you because you've got more on Tommy Wright. You've seen him.
Aye, so when he was at St. Johnson, he won the Scottish Cup. That was against Dundee United, and that was our first ever major trophy. He got them to 3 domestic semi-finals, and in 2016-17 season, that was the third successive fourth-place finish and a securing of European football. I think he also managed to get them into the third knockout round of the Europa qualifiers as well, so... And that's decent for Scottish football. I think he'll probably keep them up. Yeah, I think he's got the know-how. He knows the league. I think he's got he'll be able to motivate the players and keep them up. But it's the same story with Kilmarnock. I think they've done that a few seasons now. They sign a load of players on one-season contracts, and then it's a complete rebuild job every summer. So it's probably going to be like that for a wee while. I imagine the lack of loss of finances through this season due to COVID. Nobody really wants to take a bet on a player. So I think Scotland, some of the teams will be looking at a lot of one season contracts, just so they don't end up having someone crocked and having to pay their wages for extensive periods of time. But back to Tommy, right? Yep, I reckon he's the man for the job.
Tommy's got a comment there. I didn't know you had the notes ready. That was like a tease up there. The Tom Wright question, but you're that well prepared. I mean,
that's right.
He's been buzzing because he missed last week. He's got notes on copious amount of notes, just reading every scenario I can throw him. He's got notes on it. So, Gary, you may not know as much, but Tom Wright, what's your thoughts on the appointment and do you think he'll keep them up?
Right, so I have no prior knowledge on him. So, after having listened to Tom, I'm inclined to agree. And they'll nick a few points here and there. And, well, so if you think of a football manager game, this is probably a really good summer, you know, out with the old, in with the new. Just depends if, I think this season, they're not going to go down. They're going to pick up enough points to stay in the league. And then depends what they do. If they can keep some of these players, I think the problem with like these short contracts is players are obviously playing for a move, but if you need players then to like give their all in like a relegation battle and then they're playing against teams where players are maybe not on one season contract, so they know they're going to be there next year. You know, they might give that little bit extra, you know, then compared to when you know you're not going to be there in the next season. So they definitely stay in this year, and then it'll be an interesting summer to see how they rebuild.
Yeah, plus on top of that, there's a lot of teams in Scotland with similar budgets. So if you're like a Dundee United or something like that, or a St Mirren, been splashing the cash we built recently, St Mirren, and they can go look to these players, your top six, we're building somewhere, sign a pre-contract, all above board. I mean, there's players, I don't know if Kelly's one of the players, but Kelly's a player you'd think, oh, I'd take him, and a St Mirren team maybe try to improve him.
Of course.
Right, something like that. Last game of the game week, because the Livingston and Hamilton game was postponed again. St Mirren 0, Celtic 4, so we had Rogic goal, Edouard goal, Christie goal, Turnbull goal, John Joe Kenny assist, a Rogic assist, and a clean sheet for Celtic. So start with you, Gunnar.
Yeah, I don't even have too much on that to say, like, stat-wise. Like, I don't know about you guys, but it's just been a really long time since we've seen such dominant Celtic performance. Like, players like your Christies, your Rogers, your Edward, even the defence overall. What I mean is no Duffy, you didn't have Frimpong, you don't have Ayer at centre-back. All these players, they're showing that they're actually cut above, like, the players they're playing against, or, like, that's what they should be, you know, like, just by going the wages they're being paid and what they want in their careers, etc. So, like, it's been a long while since we've seen a performance like that, and I just thought Celtic played really, really well, and defensively, they look much more solid with Duffy out of the side, and also Kenny replacing Frimpong, it just gives you someone who's not bodied so easily on the ball and who only knows one direction, that's like going forward, you know, he knows how to defend as well, and having Ayer centrally, I think that helps as well with the solidity at the back.
Okay, just before I let Tom in, I'll just say, I know the score looks 4-0, it's fantastic, but I thought Celtic were very poor in the first half.
I've only watched the highlights, so it's good to see that.
The second half, they did turn a bit more and they looked better, but the first half was very much the same old where it's been. It was 1-0, bit of magic we took by Rogic, and a bit of Thursday there. But then the second half, whether you say tactical wise, they stepped up, they played much better. Ayer, I think, looked amazing coming from the back. He's starting to look. I mean, I listened to a podcast a lot, and pretty much the same what I was thinking. He's pretty much got that air about him now where he looks like he's too good for the league. Are you? He stands out, looks too good. It'll be off the summer. The rest at the back, Kenny, I mentioned last week, I brought him in. I think he's getting nailed to end of the season by an injury. I think he's a good option to nail her, who I don't think is his nail because Lack's out there. Though maybe Len is now thinking if he's not here next year, I'm going to play guy is here. Ayer at centre-back's much better. Baines in for the season. Maybe I didn't think so much after that lost goal against Motherwell, but clean sheet, didn't much do this time. In midfield again, Brown's kept his position because of the so-called sorrow wee crash. They always have a wee excuse not to play him. What is it, Ed? Food poisoning? Something else? Then it was then he had a wee car crash. What was next? Something else? For his so he's got excuse to play Scott Brown. I mean, he's poor sorrow. Turnbull's pretty much nailed. McGregor's nailed. Up front, Edouard's coming out of a bit of form. Ajeti, I don't know. I think he might be shite. He might be. Just seeing him play, I'm going, he's not really... I mean, I bemoan the Griffiths plays and these things, but I think the Griffiths and Edward partnership looks to bear more fruit so far than Edward and Ajeti. Even though Ajeti looks silky at times, but I don't know what I've seen so far. What's your thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you on the sorrow shout there, though. I don't know how advisable it is to play contact sport if you've got a whiplash claim coming through. But I thought St Mirren, I felt like they thought they could get a result in this game. They weren't camped out in their own box, 10 men behind the ball. They were getting forward. I think it was a bit of slack passing that kind of let them down a wee bit. McGrath, he obviously injured his shoulder quite early on in the game. He was jostling with Welsh for the ball, middle of the pitch. And it was then Welsh in the 68th minute. He was stretchered off, so a couple of injury doubts there. It's a bit of a shame for Welsh because a young boy coming through into the first team. He's looked decent up until now, so hopefully he's not out too long. You don't want him to kind of lose the rhythm. Rogic got the opener. That's one goal and one assist in that game. That was his first return since game week 14. Edward got the second goal with the penalty. I don't think it was a penalty, having looked at the highlights. He missed a big chance as well. Rogic passed it to him quite close to the goal mouth, and he put it just wide. But he has had 8 goals in 8 games and also 1 assist and 1 penalty won as well. So he's the form player at Celtic. And he's probably the one to have as well. Christie hasn't been starting. He came off the bench. He had a decent impact to the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he started the next game. And I think McGrath will be a big loss if he's out for an extended period of time for St Mirren. They do have a couple of doubles, but I think he's a key player for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on without him. So that's what I took from the game.
What was the notes on McGrath? Was it a disc to the shoulder? Is that what it was?
It looked like a shoulder issue. Yeah, he came off after about 16 minutes and he didn't play on. So
it looked quite enough an injury. But a coming together tackle, the two of them fell, he rolled over and got up, and all of a sudden his shoulder was as if it came out of his pocket. We had the sockets on, that's where I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Or on Welsh, I'll keep you updated because normally he's out running and you can see him. He runs up and my back garden, there's a fence that looks like it's a big massive main road. No, I've seen it before. And you can run basically between the graveyard and the flyover. And I think if you do a circle, it is 1.5 mile. And I think he runs up doing that twice to keep his conditioning up. And you see him all the time doing it. So if he's out running about the next couple of days, I know it's snowy conditions, but the man's built like a side of a house. So if you see him running, I'll let you update that he's still fit.
Is he run out in a full Celtic tracksuit?
I've seen him with a silk tracksuit on once, and I don't know if he maybe get a lot of people stopping and stuff like that. So since then, it's been a beanie hat on, and sure it was Scotland under 21 gear on at some point, or Scotland tracksuit of some sort. Right, we'll move on. That's the game finished. Obviously, I've already mentioned Livingston Hamilton is postponed. So assuming that we'll jump into a game week down the line, I'll just quickly look at this because I wrote myself on to see this 2 minutes. So he's stuck thing up here. It can't be next game week because Hamilton obviously has a double game week. So I think the closest they can get that back in would be game week 30 or game week 31 for Livingston and Hamilton. Because next week, Hamilton's got Motherwell and St Mirren, so it can't be there. So this week coming up. So if I'm going to push it in quickly, it might be the next second or third game week rather than the one closest is. Because if once the cup's over, there's no Scottish Cup action, so they can get it in whenever they can, I suppose, midweek.
Yep.
Right, we'll go to predictions as it stood. Peter was in 30 points, Tom 19, Gunnar was in 33. So, how'd we get on? Where am I? Hibs Aberdeen, we all got it wrong, we all predicted a draw. St Mirren Kilmarnock, I said 3-1 a point, Tommy said 2-1 a point, Gunnar got it bang on, 2-0 for 3 points for Gunnar. And we all got the Rangers result wrong because we all took big wins, so it didn't happen. So as it stands now, it's 31 points. Peter, Tom, 20. Gunners on 36. So the game week ahead, another double game week. Weather permitting, obviously. Hope this goes away. We're getting to finish it all. We've got Aberdeen vs Mirren, Dundee United Livingston, Motherwell Hamilton, Rangers Kilmarnock, Ross County Hibs, St Johnson Celtic, and the doubles will be Celtic Aberdeen and St Mirren Hamilton. So I'm going to ask you to predict three games. First up, Dundee United Livingston, and I've went 1-0 Livingston. Tom?
2-0 Livingston.
Get up.
1-0 to Libby.
Right, after that is Motherwell Hamilton, the Lancashire Derby. I went 3-0 Motherwell. Tom?
1-1.
Good up.
1-1, yeah.
And the last game of the game week, I ask you to predict St Johnson versus Celtic, and I went 2-0 Celtic. Tom?
Duffy's back, so that's the clean sheet out the window, so I think 3-1 Celtic.
Good up.
I couldn't have said it better myself, but I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay. Right, bring us on to the transfers, captains and vice-captains. But so I'll go first. Captain, the transfer this week is quite a straightforward one. I always had it planned. I'm bringing Devante Cole back in. I was worried during that game week there that he might have scored a couple of goals, but he didn't. He wasn't involved in any assists, any point return, so I'm glad of that. He's come in for Oakley for Kilmarnock, who was only in for the doubles. Another return was benched for a couple of them as well, so it didn't work out. So I'm bringing Cole back in. I will be captaining Tav, I think. I hope we call Marnock. I do not think Tom Wright will have a rough time in his hands to turn this round, the Kilmarnock team round. I think Rangers will be hurting after that drop points. They come out to maybe blow Kilmarnock away. And because of double game week, I will be vice-captaining Turnbull or Kenny. Not quite decided yet. Because obviously Tom has got to score to get the returns and Kenny needs to keep a clean sheet. So your thoughts, transfers, captains, vice-captains. We'll start with you, Gunnar.
Yeah, captain, I'm going to go Tavernier as well. And then vice-captain, I think I'm going to stick with what I've done the past 2 weeks. I'm just going to stick it on Edward again. I'm playing St. Johnson and Aberdeen. It's between Edward or Ayer for vice-captain, but probably Edward because that's worked the past 2 weeks. And then transfer, I've just noticed McGrath, he's not flagged as injured in the game. So I thought I was actually okay for transfers, but now when he is out, he's probably the one coming out for me. It's just the only midfielder that I really liked was Martin Boyle, and I got him last week. So, yeah, Mullen and McGrath are my problem positions, and I don't know who to bring in. So if you guys have any ideas, I'm open for everything.
What about Callaghan for a double?
Well, that's a shout, yeah. Who is Hamilton playing? They're playing Motherwell and St Mirren. That's decent games as well.
As Tom said earlier on, we mentioned it, he's a talisman. If they score goals, he's on corners, he's on free kicks, he's on pens. If he's scoring he's normally there or thereabouts.
He's the same price range as well, I think, as McGrath, so that would fit as the fifth midfielder. Yeah, that's a good move.
The point doesn't want to take him back out a week later, but...
Aye.
Tom?
I've got Roof, so he has to go. And to get in Edward, I'll have to get rid of Elanusi. So
here comes the hits.
Here comes more hits. So it'll be Boyle in for Elanusi or Campbell. I've not decided yet. One of those two. And then Roof goes and Eddie comes in. Captain Tav and vice-captain Edward.
Okay, we'll go to Twitter for questions then. Not many this week, I don't think. So we'll prefer them quick before we go into a bit of FPL chat. Here we go. Right. First question is a bit of tongue-in-cheek by Sutty. Are you better at predicting weather than Michael Fish? If so, well, let me see if the game be cancelled before or after the deadline. So I looked in this for Sutty. He's in a bit of luck. Livingston did not play another home game in March. Now, I know we can't predict Scottish weather, but I'm pretty confident come March, we'll be all right. Is there any say on this? I know it's not really a question, more of a tongue-in-cheek point. But yeah, do you have any thoughts on the Livingston game being suspended on an all-weather pitch? Gunnar?
For me, it's just a name. And like, call it a plastic pitch and okay, no one talks about it, but like, you call it an all-weather pitch and then you've got, I don't know, 10 centimetres of snow sitting on it. It's not really an all-weather pitch, is it, if you can't play on it?
It's a fist take. There was a lot of... our fans arguing back and forth last night about it, because going, well, what do you want us to do? Because it's to, and a foot of snow, people are getting triggered and biting all the time. And I'm like, well, why he's caught on over the pitch? He's just caught a plastic pitch and he can't clear the snow off it. And that's it. What's your thoughts, Tom, on that situation with Livingston?
Surely.
Cover
teams
it?
Surely teams in Scotland, they should come up with a way of combating snow. I mean, we've had some pretty harsh winters. Surely there must be something to do. Cover it up, use a plough, install some radiators underneath it to thaw it out. There must be some way around it.
You would have thought, right, just me thinking, that the forecast was like a week ago. They haven't played since the game midweek. Just cover it up, leave it there, take the snow off the top of it. It's a plastic pitch. You don't need to worry about the actual grass being solid. Right. Then take it from there. But it is what it is. It's done now. You can't ever out it.
Well, right. People in Scotland like a conspiracy theory. So perhaps with Guthrie and Mullen and the boys out, they've let it snow so they can get the game postponed and they'll play it again once everyone's fit.
How far up does it go, Thomas? I don't know, but how far up the line does it go, this conspiracy theory?
Well, we all know Peter Lawwell controls Scottish football, so I think it's the buck lies with him in that one.
Okay. And the last question is from Brian Blades, or Blades Attack, sorry, Brian. What are the thoughts on Nisbet being dropped in the past few games? Time to bin him. We'll start with you, Tom.
I'd say yes, because we don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know if he's down tools. We don't know what the situation is surrounding that. There's a lot of decent striker options just now. Devante Cole, Edwards on form. I think he's decent money as well in this bit. So he's taking up a bit of your budget doing nothing. People are struggling for cash, then it might be wise to downgrade and use the money to upgrade a midfielder to Boyle. Because I think midfielder's a position that's lacking some standouts, but Boyle is one of those standouts. So a lot of people maybe have Marciano, a defender, and then Boyle might be a better option than this bit. So I'd probably say aye. Get rid.
Are you going to your thoughts on it?
See, I'm trying a bit of reverse psychology. Basically, if everyone gets rid now, I'm going to stick with him. Because I don't think there are that many good striker options. Cole and Edward already have them, and until there is another striker sticking out, I'm not willing to use another transfer on this bit, because I think I've took him out and brought him back in twice already this season, and I am predicting a time where Hibs will struggle to score goals and he will come on or start the game, and once he scored a goal or two, then he's back in the starting lineup, or you'll see him more often at least. And before we see someone taking the striker spot from the three strikers that we can have in the game, I'm keeping him. I think. Plus, I don't need the funds as well. I brought Martin Boyle in this week, and I still have a 0.8 million just sitting in the bank there. And I've got Edward. I've got all not all the heavy hitters, but I've got the heavy hitters that I want, and I still got money left over. So I don't see a reason for me making that transfer out.
Right, I'm inclined to agree with you. You know, I think it's just a wee phase. He's a wee teenage girl here. He's just a wee huff, didn't get his move, right? But if he's going to be realistic about it and he wants to play in the Euros and he wants to get his move, he's going to have to get his finger out and actually start playing. I think he's been left out for his own benefit, transfer request. I think it'll come to pass. I'd like to think it's this week with Hipscott. They have got Ross County away. If he's benched for the next game, week or two, then fair enough. Maybe your hand's forced and you've got to get rid of him, but I can see him coming back in. I can see him going to be actually trying really, really hard for the end of the season, because I think it's between him and Shankland for that third striker choice. And I think he's a better option, personally, what I've seen. I think he's a better player and a better striker than Shankland. And if he wants his move, I think he'll need to start delivering again. And I would keep him for now. But again, I see Tom's point. If strikers up top, then again, there isn't that. You said there's quite a lot of options. I don't think there is, Tom. I think it's Devante Cole, Edward, maybe Roof when he's fit, and that's it.
I don't know, with the rotation in the Livingston midfield, you could argue Pittman's a decent option.
Yeah, maybe true, yeah.
He's more nailed. You're going to have to see the impact Tommy Wright's going to have. So Kabamba might come back into the fold. I think there's more options. Ollie Shaw obviously was benched, but he's been decent form recently as well. So I don't think it's just the two. I think there'll be more. There'll be more coming out of the fold soon, I reckon.
I just think for when he's probably his top goal scorer. Is he still top goal scorer? He's not Edward Tagore now, isn't he, for the league? But he's up there all season. I think he can score against any team. He's shown against Rangers and Celtic. If I keep it holding, but then your hand could be forced if he's not playing much longer. So there we go. Three different opinions on that. Hope I answered your question. Right, ready to go about FPL chat?
Go for it.
Right, let me load it up. Bang. Right, we'll go to league first. The top three has remained the same. Gunnar, yourself, Los Pimentores, top, 71 points. Second, Picnic George, Daniel Arnott, 79 points. Third, Boys and Hoops, Jerry Agnew, 61 points. And the highest goal scorer this week was me, 82 points. Da-da-da-da-da. So, the average this week, I know I talk so much shit. Actually, we didn't finish last week's. So, what I've done is I wrote again 2 weeks and combined them. Last week's average 57 points. 58 points average this week, which gives a total of 115. So last week I had 68, and this week 82. That's 150. Tom, you 69 last week, 73 this week, which is 142. Gunnar with 85 last week, 71 this week, which is 156. So we're all well above it. Gunnar, obviously, in the wee mini game, you look at that week, Gunnar won. So you better talk us through your points from this week, Gunnar.
Yeah, I had Martinez in goal for 9 points. Stones got me 2 points, 0 points off Trent. Justin, who's now injured, another one injured, 9 points. Kufal got me 6 points. Salah with the 7 points. Bruno, 14 points. He was my captain. Gundogan, he got 13 points, unfortunately. Suchek, 0 points. Watkins for 9 points. Antonio, 2 points. And I left Calvert-Lewin's 12 points on the bench. Tom, so could have been even better.
Yep. Tom, what took us for your points?
Yep, I had Martinez in goal as well for 9 points. Cancelo and Stones got me 2 points each. Cresswell got me 9 points. Dunk got me 9 points. In midfield, I had Harrison for 9 points. Gundogan got me 13. Lingard got me 3. Fernandez, 7. Bamford, 6. And Captain Antonio got me 4. On the bench, I had Salah, 7 points. And I had Calvert-Lewin, 12 points. Yep, bit of a stinker. And Mitchell won, so that's not a big loss.
Okay, so I had same as you, Martinez and goals for 9. Cancelo and Stones, 2 each. My transfer was James for 2. In midfield, Captain Son, 20 points. Gundogan, 13. Grealish, 2. Salah, 7. Fernandez, 7. Bamford, 6. And Calvert-Lewin for 12. On the bench, the only one I could miss out on was Dawson for 6. And that's it, so 82 points, particularly happy with that. So, Tom, do you want to talk through any talking points we've seen in the last week of FPL games?
Yeah, so with Saturday's fixtures, it was Villa 1, Arsenal 0. It was Ollie Watkins with the goal and Traore with the assist. Villa have had 3 clean sheets in their last 5. I think Martinez has made a strong claim for the goalkeeper of the season. I think after these doubles, if you don't have them, then get him back for the remainder. Grealish has had 1 goal and 3 assists in his last 5. It's since game week 7, he's only got more than 1 attack in return in a single game week, and that was 2 assists against West Brom. So he does seem to have the ability to haul. We've seen that earlier in the season where he got 2 goals and 3 assists, but not a lot recently. Watkins is ticking along nicely. He's had 4 goals in his last 5 games. Arsenal, they're hard to judge recently. They've only scored 1 goal in their last 3. They've had a couple of sending offs and things like that. So, before recently, Saka was a big standout. I'm not too sure on Arsenal assets going forward, so something to keep an eye on. In the Burnley game, it was 1-1. Gudmundsson got the goal for Burnley, Peters with the assist, and Brighton, it was Dunk with the goal and Pascal Gross with the assist. I was all over Dunk this week, quite happy with that. The last 5 game week scores, he's had 8, 6, 6, 8, and 9. And in the last 9 games, he scored 3 goals, which I think is decent for a centre back. I don't know if he'll stay in my team with the upcoming potential wild card, bench boost, etc. But if you're not bench boosting or wild carding, then I think he's a strong option in defence. He's not that expensive as well. He's only 4.8.
Just on Dunk, Tom, by the way, he was really good last year as well. I had him for a fair bit last year in FPL Dunk. I think he was really cheap last year. And he'd done a similar spell where Brighton went through a good patch of form and he was scoring a lot of goals for Connors. And I was like, I've got on my team. I just didn't think about the initiative bonus, but sorry, continue.
I think it was last season, the season before, a lot of people triple captained him for his double. Some people were a bit mental. So, I do think he's a decent FPL option. Newcastle 3 and Southampton 2. Newcastle had a good game. Almiron got 2 goals, Willock got 1, and St. Maxim got 2 assists. For Southampton, it was Minamino and James Ward-Prowse with the 2 goals. Assists came from Bertrand and Adams. I think that was Minamino's debut, was it?
And he got scored. His debut.
I think he's playing again tonight as well, for what I've seen. For St. Maxim, that was his first start since game week 9. I really do think he's the missing ingredient at Newcastle. He was really good at the start of the season. I still don't know if it's enough for me to jump back on him just yet. But I think he was in my first team in game week 1. There's talk of Newcastle, they've brought in a new coach who's started to play this sort of diamond in the midfield, and it seems to be working quite well for them. So something to keep an eye on at Newcastle. Fulham 0, West Ham 0. A lot of people captained Antonio this week, and it didn't quite work out. There was a bit of concern about his injury status, but apparently he's going to be available for the Sheffield United game. From what I'm hearing on Twitter. Cresswell, 3 bonus points in this game. He's had 8 assists this season, which is top for defenders. So I really like Cresswell as a defensive option. Man United 3, Everton 3. Fernandes, McTominay and Cavani got the goals. Assists came from Shaw, Rashford and Wan-Bissaka. For Everton, Calvert-Lewin got a goal and assist. Doucouré got a goal and assist. James Rodriguez got a goal. And Keane got an assist. Calvert-Lewin, that's now 2-2 after coming back, but there's concern over his injury last night in the Spurs game. He's going for a scan, but it's possibly a hamstring tear, and he's not to be expected back for the double game week. So that's a bit of a concern for those. I think a lot of people have a transfer nailed in now. Shaw, that's 2 assists. Three assists in his last 2 games, but 2 of those assists came against his 10-man Southampton, so can't read into that a lot, but he is very high up for defenders stats-wise for creative. So he's got a good few assists in him, I think. So there was Sunday, Spurs 2, West Brom 0. Kane and Son got the goals. Moura and Højbjerg got the assists. Kane's back. That was a clean sheet for Spurs. Obviously, they'll talk about Mourinho setting up defensively, but that was only their second clean sheet in the last 11 games. Not a lot to say about West Brom. Wolves, 0-0. Justin got all 3 bonus points. He's had 2 goals and 2 assists in this season. He was stretchered off last night in the cup game. Word is it's not as bad as what they initially expected. He was stretchered off, but apparently he's starting to put weight on his leg and it might not be as bad as initially thought. So keep an eye on the pressures for that. Liverpool 1, City 4. Gundog got 2 goals. He's had 5 goals and 1 assist in his last 5. City have had 13 clean sheets this season as well. I thought they were unlucky to concede. There was the Diaz foul. It was a penalty by the letter of the law, but I thought Salah made a bit of a meal of it. Sterling as well, he's doing well recently. He's had 3 goals and 1 assist in his last 5. There's been some talk about people switching up from having the 2 defenders and Gundogan, dropping the defender and looking at Sterling and Gundogan in midfield for the double game week coming up. I'd be interested to hear your guys' thoughts. Sheffield United 1, Chelsea 2. It was an own goal and for Sheffield United, and Burke got the assist. I think Chelsea have been really good defensively. I think they're top for defensive stats under Tuchel. Jorginho and Mount got the goals, and it was two assists from Werner. It was a really good own goal, and I quite like him as a Chelsea defensive option. He's only 4.6 million. He's probably not going to offer a lot attacking-wise, but at that price and given the defensive stats at Chelsea, I think he's going to be a decent option, potentially with the potential double coming up. I think we still have to see how things go tonight with the FA Cup, but it's I think it's fairly nailed on, to be honest with you. Last game then is Leeds 2, Palace 0. Harrison and Bamford got the goals. Dallas and Rafinha got the assists. Rafinha looks like a cracking player. Dallas, he got the three bonus in this game as well. We know he's playing out of position. He's had four goals and three assists this season. Not this coming game week, but the game week after. Leeds have a confirmed double game week. I think the triple up is probably a good idea, but it's going to be hard for those that are wild carding in 25 in preparation, because then Leeds don't have a double in 26. So that's probably the big dilemma. We'll probably have to look more into that for next week. Palace haven't scored this season without Zaha, so that's something to consider, considering he's out injured just now. And Bamford captained himself, so maybe keep an eye on Bamford's team. Get some FPL tips from him.
There's a lot of people annoyed online. That's, you know what it's like, a lot of knee-jerk saying players shouldn't be allowed to play FPL. Because they try harder when they captain themselves. You're like, come on, pal. It's just because they're playing a game. They're going to try. They try no matter what. It's professional pride. Just because you've not got me this week and your butt hurt because you missed out and you scored and you captained yourself. I saw this. Going to get an add to Tom's fantastic FPL rundown?
That was a so comprehensive rundown. I don't have anything to add. I don't think.
He that bottled up for 2 weeks. He that bottled up for 2 weeks. I'll make a quick look through the results of what I've seen. The two things. What is it? Newcastle, I want to point out, he, his job was on the line recently, you think. And I don't know if he's maybe a change in tact that just staying up isn't enough. They've got to play better eye-catching football. And they seem to have done that. They seem to have turned the UC to bring a coach in. As if they've tried to play more attacking football rather than just try to shot 1-0 and stuff like that. So they've totally changed the last couple of games. Just watching the match of the day, you can see their style of play has totally changed. And if they keep on getting the results, even if it's 3-2s, 2-1s, or 1-0s, or draws, whatever, then I think Newcastle might be assets for the second half of the season. There you go, that's your Peter tip of the week going forward. Right. Predictions as it stood, 25 Peter, 12 Tom, Gunnar 16. As you see, our scores are much lower in the English game. We're not exactly the best at predicting these games. So, Villa, Arsenal, we all went right, but not the score, not the correct score. 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, so a point. Liverpool City, me and you got a point, Tom. Gunnar picked Liverpool. I think Gunnar was on too much Guinness that night. and I got a point for the Burnley-Brighton draw. So you, Gunnar, and Tom went 1-0 Brighton. So as it stands now, it's Peter 28, Tom 14, and Gunnar 18. So I'm going to ask you to predict these next three games. Some form teams here. Brighton, Villa, and I went 0-0, Tom.
One, 1-1.
Gunnar?
2-1 to Villa.
Arsenal and Leeds, and I've went 2 each, Tom.
3-1 Leeds.
Gunnar?
2-1 Leeds.
No faith for Arsenal at all, have we? And last up is Chelsea Newcastle. And after me saying nice in Newcastle, I went 3-0 Chelsea. Tell.
2-0 Chelsea.
Gunnar?
2-0 Chelsea as well.
Okay. So before I get to transfers and captains, I want to ask you to look at your team and tell me how many players you've got on your full squad that is flagged. And I'll start. I've only got one, and it's Calvert-Lewin. Tom, how many players you get flagged?
I've got two, Calvert-Lewin and Antonio.
Gunnar?
I've got four. I've got Calvert-Lewin, Diaz, Antonio, and Justin.
Now, I'm not saying I already locked that out, Gerrits, but I've done you last, so you'd have the biggest problem. So obviously that will affect transfers and captains, right? So my transfer was going to be Dawson to a Burnley defender for a double game week, because Burnley's next couple of fixtures look decent. I think after this game, West Ham have a couple of tricky fixtures, and I was going to come off Dawson anyway, so I was going to maybe go to Burnley for 3 or 4 weeks and come off him. Now, if Calvert-Lewin's flagged, like you said, Tom, and he's not going to play, fair enough. But I've also got Son on the bench right now, so I could just rotate it for a week, because I'm going to replace next week with Kane anyway, and I wouldn't bring Kane into the Man City game. I might still go ahead with bringing a Burnley defender, so I've got a double game week guy. So, Gunnar, what's your thoughts on transfers? Also, you've got four players I've flagged, so do you have two transfers, Gunnar? You used one last week, did you?
I banked my transfer last week, yes, so I do have Andy? Two transfers. So I want a Burnley defender as well. Looking ahead, one more week, I think by game week 25, I want to have Kane and Bamford as my striking options. I've got Antonio and Calvert-Lewin injured, so that could be two. I've got 6.5 million, I think, in the bank, so I could definitely upgrade Calvert-Lewin there. It's just I've got Diaz instead of Cancelo, so that a bit of a sideways move, but I don't think I'll be going double City midfield. I'd rather stick with the double defense. Just going on form, I could probably lose Trent as well because, well, I've got his return out of him at least like last week where he got the two assists, I think it was, or a goal and assist. But form they're in, even Alisson can't do anything anymore. So, but at least he's not injured. So, yeah, Burnley defender is who I want. But again, I've got Justin Diaz injured and then the two strikers injured. But Bamford and Kane are the two that I'm looking at. Yeah. We're doing captains as well, or?
Yeah, do you have captain? I made his right now sitting on Gundogan.
Yeah, Gundogan. Tottenham is probably the tougher game of the two. Currently, I still have it on Bruno, but I'm going to be switching between Bruno and Gundogan until the deadline, I think.
So just on your Burnley defender, Brian, what's your options? Because obviously people are thinking, is it Tarnowski, me?
Is it Loughton who plays for them as well?
And Peters, that's a four, that's a back four they've been playing. Is that right, Tom? Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong menu here. I think the one on my watch list that I have, I can't pull it up now, I think it's Loughton. Is he one of the fullbacks, isn't it?
Yep, because all right, it's Ben, it's me and Tarlovsky, the centre backs, and it's Peters and Loughton's as two fullbacks. Why?
Yep.
Shallow Peters out, is that right, Tom?
I think so.
I think it is.
Yeah, see, Loughton, he's 4.5 million. Peters, well, he's the centre half, but he's 4.3. So I think I'll go for the fullback then. Just 0.2 million.
Is Peters not playing out of position? Is he playing? Is he playing in the centre back? I thought he was playing one of the fullback roles.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean,
the lineup a back four, Peters on the left, Loughton on the right, and Tarkowski and me in the middle. Midfield is Gudmundsson, Westwood, Cork, McNeil. And up front, it's Barnes and Vidra.
Right, so between Peters and Loughton, then it is.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking, you know, it's the two of them, but Peters is much cheaper. I'm not really caring about the price because I've got the money there anyway, it doesn't really matter. And like yourself, I'll be going to Kane probably next week after a Man City game. And you've got enough strong enough bench, you can just bring players out, no problem with your starting 11 because of injuries and flags.
Well, I think so. So seeing how I benched DCL's 12 points this week, I think because I played the wild card before. Just before we got another one, so I had it all prepared with like good players playing twice through this like double game week, and yeah, so I had 2 weeks in a row now where once it was Suchek where I left all his points on the bench, and now DCL. So it is a good squad. It's just I'm not picking the right players in the right weeks.
Okay, Tom, what's your thoughts in on trying to transfer what you've got, the players that are flagged, and for the game coming ahead, and captain options?
I think Antonio's going to be okay for the weekend. I'm still not decided. I was thinking about getting rid of Forster, benching Martinez, and playing Pope, but there's some concern over Pope's status as well. They're worried about whether he's going to be able to start or not. I was maybe thinking about taking a hit as well. I'm not too sure.
Tom loves those hits.
Yep. Possibly. I was maybe going to take him because Calvert-Lewin's going to be out, so you could. I was thinking we'd be getting a Fulham striker in, but I'm not too sure about that. I was maybe going to go Gundogan to Sterling and Captain Sterling because I just don't know how I feel about Captain Gundogan. My captaincy just now is on Fernandes, West Brom away. I think it's a nice fixture for him.
Plus Pogba's out again.
Yep. So he always performs better without Pogba. So I just don't know. I think I'm going to have to wait till the pressers tomorrow. See what the situation is with Pope, and I think that'll probably decide me.
You have one transfer, you don't have two, so you've got one that need to be for you.
Yeah, I can afford to take a punt because I was planning on wild carding 25 anyway.
No.
So I can just dead end my team.
Because I thought you were going to go to a Burnley defender, that's what you were talking for the week. Because this all changed because of all the flags, so now that's up there.
Yeah, but then I was thinking about if Calvert-Lewin's out, that I could bring Dunk off my bench. Play Dunk instead. I do have a soft spot for him. I don't really know. I just can't decide just now. Usually I'm fairly set by about now, but I'm still collating all information. I'm just not 100% on what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, I think I'll be joining you. I'll be waiting until Saturday morning for my last minute choices. I'm just going to have to wait. I've no rush. I'm off work this week. I can chill, look at things, read people's opinions on it and kind of gather it myself, make my own choice on it. But I still like the idea of, like I said, I can just bench Calvert-Lewin this week. Not going to be crazy because I'm going to replace him next week anyway. I was going to bring Kane in next week after the Man City game. So 1 week he can sit there foot injured and maybe go for that Burnley double up at the back. See then, hopefully a clean sheet one of the games and maybe a return for one of the fullbacks, like you know, say, and see what happens for that. Right, so we are finished this week, guys. We'll start. Well, no, we'll end with our outro. So, Tom, give me your plugs.
So I'm at FFS_scout. I try and do a weekly article, which will probably be coming out tomorrow. Also, obviously, do the podcast. Answer any questions, rate my teams, get me on Twitter, hit me up.
Where did the rate my teams come from? That's a new one.
I said that one a wee while ago.
Did you? This got me off guard. Rate my teams.
I'm not sending my teams.
Right, get out of your plugs.
Yeah, I'm at Fitball Weekly Pod. Originally started as another pod with my mate John, but that's been on hold for a few weeks now. I hope we can bring that back at some point. And then we're doing the vice captain and captain polls every week. We've done the graphics for the podcast, Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup as well. And yeah, if you want to get in touch, if you want me rating your teams, you can hit me up on Twitter as well.
Yeah, ask Gunnar. He's high ranked, isn't he? Also, you can find Gunnar replying to Rangers FC comments with his sick faces because he made an alliance with Hamburg. Just something you might have noticed if you follow us on Twitter.
Terrible.
Right, you can follow me at Fantasy Half on Twitter. Again, like guys I mentioned, follow both them. The cup, we might talk about the cup, hashtag HHFP cup. We'll talk about that as the weeks come closer to the cup starting. If you like me listening, you give us an iTunes review, it'd be excellent, or a review where you like your podcast. And again, that is us finished to next week. I'm assuming again, guys, it's another double game week, so we're back on Thursday again, if that suits both your schedules.
Aye.
Talk about it off here. But once again, guys, thanks very much for listening. Thanks so much for keeping in contact and helping us in the community. And we'll see you again next week. Good luck for the game week coming ahead. Say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Gunnar.
And goodbye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.